All right, guys, welcome to the first podcast of 2026. I'm going to record this one solo, chat about what I've been up to, what my plans are for 2026, and just kind of shoot the shit. I hope you guys had a good Christmas and a good New Year's, but yeah, man, let's get into it. But before we get started, actually, hold up. I need to ask you guys a favor. You got to take a second for me, hit pause and head over to whether it's Apple or Spotify and leave me a review, please. Click the stars, type something up for me, brief, trying to grow the podcast. And I would really, really appreciate it if you guys could just take a few seconds and hit pause and go do that for me and then come back to the episode. So anyway, let's get going. So obviously, we're in the swing of application season, and many of you know that I'm a big proponent of Go Hunt. I found Go Hunt, you know, I don't even know, maybe 8 years ago or something like that, 7 years ago. I can't recall exactly when. And it's straight up no bullshit changed my life as far as how to apply out of state and how to get tags and all that stuff. So I am doing a lot of e-scouting and draw odds and filtering 2.0 and spending a ton of time in Go Hunt right now, kind of narrowing down, you know, my hunt plans. And you know, most of you guys probably know that listen to the podcast. You know, I build points in almost every kind of Western state, you know, Nevada, Utah, all of them, all over the place, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, et cetera. So I do that because, you know, some states take 10 to 15 years to draw, like, you know, a bottom tier unit in that state for a non-resident. And then some states, you know, you can draw tags with 1 point, 2 point, 3 points, whatever. So I feel like in today's world with how hard it is to get tags as a non-resident, if you can afford it, you should definitely be building points in as many states as possible. That's what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue to do that as long as I can afford it. So anyway, so my kind of, you know, 10,000 foot view of what I have planned this fall, this upcoming fall in 2026, would be this in a perfect world. So I think I'm going to draw Wyoming deer, which will be really cool. It'll be weird hunting deer in September with a rifle if I do draw. Excuse me. But I am really looking forward to having a chance to hopefully find a really nice buck in Wyoming. So hopefully I get that tag. I'm also going to apply with my brother for the Montana general big game combo. So hopefully we draw that. And we have a elk tag and a deer tag. So that'll give me, you know, an early September deer hunt, followed up by like a late September, early October elk hunt in Montana. And then I'll have a November hunt for deer in Montana if I draw that general combo. I'm also hoping to draw the Idaho general tags that I applied for. That would give me another deer tag for October, and then hopefully a rifle tag early November, which would give me a super busy season. But that's how I like it. So what's interesting about the Idaho thing is, as you guys know that have followed our YouTube channel over the last 4 or 5 years, we've hunted Idaho every year for quite some time now. And we've hunted multiple zones, multiple units for deer, due to just the challenge of getting a tag in Idaho. We've always been able to get one, but we've had to, you know, kind of be flexible and, you know, kind of take what we can get. And honestly, man, some of those hunts where we've picked up like return tags have been some of our best trips as far as, you know, getting awesome footage, killing multiple bulls on a trip, whatever it was. I love Idaho. It's been good to us. So, but anyway, what's interesting about Idaho this year for me is I applied for deer specifically, and I used all 5 choices, but I applied in 5 units that I've never hunted before. And I'm going to shed a little bit of light on that for you guys, like why I chose to do that. Maybe it'll help you guys. Maybe it won't. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But so when I was looking at Idaho, when I made my choices, I was looking at some units that offered, one, a ton of public land. I don't like to be pigeonholed. And I also have the llamas now, They're almost old enough to pack with. So I'm my whole approach to, I guess, picking units and e-scouting has changed with the thought of having pack animals now. I can go obviously a lot further with more gear, be more comfortable, better food, the whole thing, right? So I was looking for units that offered more of a backcountry feel with a ton of public. And I was also looking at units that offered a good amount of tags. Most of these units that I'm describing, they're not necessarily very good as far as trophy potential goes or numbers of deer and elk. They're all kind of on the lower or mid-tier end. But my thought process is if I can get a tag on a regular basis in a unit that maybe isn't that good, and I can put my llamas to use and get myself back into some of these canyons where I'm not competing with the backpack hunters and the road hunters and all that stuff, that I might still be able to turn up some decent bucks or bulls. So that was the approach that I took. And I'm really interested to see how it shakes out. And I'm also really interested to see the draw odds for Idaho in 2027 after they gather all the data, see where everybody applied. I really want to know how many people applied, because I'll admit to it, I already have. I'm not ashamed of it. It is what it is. But I was one of those guys when Idaho had the queue going, even last year or in years in the past, where I was logged in on multiple devices, cell phone, computer, you know, whatever, trying to get a tag. And it worked for me. Now, with that being said, you know, I heard that there was upwards of like 60,000 people in the queue. And I always wondered if they could decipher if it was 60,000 different people or 60,000 devices. Anyway, I'm just curious. I'm curious how many people actually spent the money for the license and was willing to basically risk it. You know, it's a $200 kind of lottery ticket in a way, because you have to buy the license and it's not refundable. So if you don't draw a tag, you don't draw a tag. For me, I don't really care, because I'm going to go hunt spring bear every year in Idaho. Hopefully they don't make that a draw, but I'm going to go there anyway. So to me, the license is no big deal. It just is what it is. So anyway, those are my plans for 2026. I do have a few other backup plans in place if I do not draw some of these tags. I do have a good amount of points for Arizona elk, deer, and I also have a good amount of points in Oregon for elk and deer. But Oregon's also one of those states that's always been on my list as a backup option. And I think it's a great backup option that a lot of guys don't consider, which is great for me living this close to Oregon. But yeah, if I don't draw some of these tags, that'll be kind of my backup plan. I'll probably try to pick up a late season Arizona elk tag with my rifle. And then I'll definitely try to pick up an Oregon deer tag in the draw, and then an Oregon over-the-counter archery elk tag as well. Regardless of what happens, I'll have, you know, probably three or four hunts to go on in 2026, which would be really cool. And we plan on filming these hunts this year. 2026, we really didn't, the YouTube channel has been kind of dead. Jake and I started the business and things have just been extremely busy. So I've kind of slowed down on the YouTube this year, but, or in 2026 will be a lot better. So anyway, I got my years all mixed up now. So yeah, so that's my plan for the hunting season, upcoming hunting season. Other than that, I have been, you know, trying to, you know, get going in the fitness thing again. Not super crazy. You know, one thing about this year that I'm going to do a little differently than I've done in the past is I'm just kind of not beat myself up so much if I don't work out 5 or 6 days a week. It just isn't attainable for my life right now. It's not something that's, that I just have the discipline, I guess, to stick to. And in the past, I felt like if I tried to do that much lifting or running or whatever, like I would just get burned out and kind of fall off the wagon. And then I was just doing nothing at that point. You know, luckily I work in the construction industry, so I stay in pretty decent shape. But you know, rucking and running help a lot. So anyway, my goal this year is just to do something, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. And I've been very consistent with that since, you know, the beginning of November. So I'm on a decent roll, running a couple miles at a time, hitting the squat rack, deadlifts, bench press, you know, stuff like that. Just trying to keep the core strong, trying to keep my back strong, my legs strong, and then the cardio. Keep the cardio up. So hiking the mountains with a heavy pack on doesn't kick my butt too bad. So that's kind of the goal with the fitness, man. Just nothing too crazy, but just do something a couple times a week. Just stay active and stay strong. So yeah, man. And then I guess another like rabbit hole that has kind of got a hold of me that I'm really, really enjoying too is I picked up reloading. So on the way home from an Idaho rifle elk hunt this past year, I got this weird urge to want to start reloading. So I, of course, I hopped on Instagram and I reached out to, you know, some of the guys that I've followed for years on social media that I know reload and they shoot NRLs and all that stuff. And I started picking their brains and they were kind enough to share some information with me on presses and components and, you know, where to start with my load development, all that stuff. So I purchased a press and a powder thrower and all this stuff and some brass and, you know, everything I needed to start reloading for my 7 PRC. And I'll kind of tell you the results I've gotten so far have been really awesome and I'm super happy with it. I wish I would have started, you know, reloading 10 years ago, but I was originally shooting the factory Hornady ELDXs. And I was shooting those at about 2780 feet per second. Now, I was getting some really good groups out to, you know, 400, 500, 600 yards. There was nothing really wrong with the factory loads, except the speeds weren't even close to what I really wanted to get out of the gun. And I also just, I wanted to take my shooting to the next level. So what I did was I purchased 100 pieces of ADG brass, CCI large magnum primers. I have 4 different powders now. Started with N560, N565, N568, and some Hodgkin's 4831 shortcut. And then I also purchased the Berger 175 Elite Hunters. Yeah, man, I started reloading. And I started with the N560 powder as my first, you know, charge. Got some load data from Berger. They were nice enough to email me some load data. And I kind of started in the middle of their chart and I worked my way up a little bit over max and I got some decent speeds. I got some really, really phenomenal groups pretty much out of all the charges. I was very impressed with the grouping, but I wasn't quite where I wanted to be with speed. Came back home, cleaned up all the brass, reloaded some more bullets with that N565 and the N568. And again, I went back out to the range, started kind of a little bit closer to the max charge the second trip. And I loaded a little bit over max as well again. And I got some phenomenal numbers. I ended up settling on a charge that was pushing, you know, 3,030 feet a second on average, with my standard deviation being, I think, 9.2, and a phenomenal group. Phenomenal group, just hole through hole. Ragged hole, whatever you want to call it. Very, very happy with it. So I now have the speed I want and I have a great group at 100 yards. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to load that N565, which is the powder I'm going to use moving forward. And I'm going to load probably five bullet groups at different distances off the lands. I think I'm going to start at 5,000s off the lands and then do 10,000s, 15,000s, 20,000s, 25, 30, 35. I'm going to work my way back and I'm going to shoot out to distance. I think I'm going to shoot like 300 yards on paper. And once I narrow down a group or two based off my bullet seating depth, I'll probably test a little bit. I'll probably narrow it down and test a little bit more with probably 10 bullet groups to see, you know, if it was just the luck of the day or what, but I think I just got a few more trips to the range and I'm going to have a load figured out. And, man, like I said, it's been a lot of fun to kind of tinker around. There's a lot of great resources on YouTube. There's a lot of great resources on Instagram, social media. You know, social media definitely has its flaws. There's definitely some things about it that I can't stand, but I've also met some of the coolest people through this podcast, through YouTube, through Instagram that I otherwise never would have had the chance to chat with. So pretty happy about that. And yeah, man, that's kind of what I've been up to. Slowly kind of training my llamas as well. They're almost 2 years old. So just haltering them, taking them on kind of, you know, like 1-2 mile walks. I did pick up a training saddle from, I think it's Black Thunder Llama Gear. His name's Dennis over there. I got a training saddle. So I've been kind of putting that on, taking it off, putting it on, taking it off. That's been an absolute shit show. The llamas do not like the training saddle, but from what I've been told, that's pretty common. It takes quite a while to get them used to packing. So anyway, I guess I'll kind of wrap this up with one final thing here, man. I would love to get some feedback from you guys that enjoy the podcast. Hit me up on YouTube or Instagram, shoot me a message. You know, if you guys have any guests you want to hear, if you have any topics you want to talk about, shoot me a message. Let me know what you guys are thinking, what you guys are up to. That's the whole purpose of this podcast, is to interact with you guys. So anyway, hope you guys have a great new year. Hopefully you guys draw some awesome tags, and I look forward to hearing from you guys here soon. All right, we'll catch you on the next one.